Oracle du jour is the Oracle of Vision. The theme there has to do with looking, seeing, and seeking. In terms of a symbol, in the Doth pattern, which didn't bring one with me, in the Doth pattern, there are all the dots in the Doth pattern are simultaneously lines and circles. Okay, and so here's that saying that says, you know, is the glass half full or half empty? Well, everything is constantly expanding and contracting, so it's just how you choose to look at it. And so that's a real basic theme here, is what we choose to look at and how we choose to focus. Is it half empty or half full? The color on this level is purple. Purple is the color of transmutation and transformation. And we really work with this center in terms of creating our visions. And that's where change begins. As we create a new image, we create a vessel for spirit to fill. And the words and the caring and all of that is below that actually flows into what we're looking at. It's very difficult to create something new until you can actually see something new. And it's very difficult to see something new until you let go, move into acceptance and appreciation and gratitude and joy for what you have. Because it seems that that makes the energies that we create with available to us. And what we really like to do is take this reality that is not satisfactory to us and just reject it and say, okay, I'm going to create something new. And what is true about that is this, which already is more substantial and energized than this which you're creating, and it will eventually erode your process until you learn to embrace the energies that are engaged here into that new process. I always have this experience in visualization where unless I am really grounded in my creative process, it's like the it's like one of those hourglasses where the sand is, you know, and there's the, here I get this vision and I can just sort of feel it, right? And therein is the teaching: don't build on the sand, build on the rock, right? And so the rock is the material creation we already have. That's where the energy is solidified and available to us. So we need to go there to work with that. We don't want to do that. And I think that's probably got a lot to do. That we haven't learned to do that has a lot to do with how much problem we have with pollution and waste right now. Because we just want to dump the crap, dump the old stuff, make new stuff, and pretend like the other stuff is gone, but it's not. And creatively, when we want to create a new reality, we really need to understand this process, and visioning is a real powerful part of that. The part of the prayer that this resonates with is in heaven. And heaven hits this center both on the first time around Our Father, who art in heaven, and for thine is the kingdom. They both is both there. So heaven, I like to understand heaven as God's vision, the vision of spirit, a vision of perfection. And I don't see it as having a specific form. I see God's vision as a vision that says everything is possible. Okay. And we are part of that vision, unique aspects of that vision. So when we begin to relate to this center, the first part of it is anything is possible. So what do I want? Brings us right down to the base chakra, and then we build up again into that center. Anything is possible is probably the most limiting reality there is. Because there's no parameters. You know, tell a kid that they can have anything and watch what happens. When, if they get that it's anything, they'll be stalled. It's like, anything? Anything? You can't think because there's always more. So creatively, we have to create the parameters. And the way that we create those parameters has to do with the cross that exists here. And the cross basically says, the parallel part of the cross, the polarities are, I am negating and I am affirming. And negating is the part of our sight where we look away. And it can also be the place where we say no. It can also be involved with, oh, that's bad, right? But when we say that's bad, we're really affirming badness. We're not really negating. We may feel negated. The true negation is where you don't see it at all. And we all do that. If we all took a walk of 100 yards and then wrote down what we saw, we would all see. You wouldn't even believe that we had been on the same walk. I used to have a friend in Colorado, and we'd go on these walks, and she would always find these amazing things. And I was thinking, God, how does she do that? And she just had that way of focusing. She was always looking for stuff. I didn't find it because I wasn't looking for stuff. But I was always impressed that she found the stuff. And so we have negating and affirming. Now, negating is, in the way that we do it with the eyes, it's very instinctual. But one of the things that we negate is pain. If you see another person who is obviously in pain, your eyes want to look away. You don't want to be part of that. That's part of the survival mechanism. That's the human thing. And it's just instinct. If you see something that is beautiful to you, the eyes go right to it. That's affirming. Now we affirm and we negate in a lot of ways, but on the level of the eyes, it's just really, you can feel it's a no. And the ultimate no is, it doesn't even exist. I don't even see it. And yes. And the ultimate yes is when it's the only thing you can see. And sometimes we call that obsession. It's determined by what we do with it. And again, it's about inner versus outer. Outer versus inner. When we see that thing that we affirm, if we empower it, we will become obsessed with it. And that's simply because we've given it our energy. Go into a jewelry store, you're looking around, and all of a sudden you see something that you just gotta have, right? You just gotta have it. Yeah, well, it may spark a memory of from some past life. It may have a resonance that, you know, just matches you in a particular way. It could be a car, it could be another person, it could be a particular lifestyle, but at the point where that happens and you empower it, you're going to spend a lot of energy in pursuit of that vision. And when you do that, then you're negating what that's really about. That thing is activating something inside of us. This is the thing we always need to remember. We come here to do this work and to work with this grid. It's very, very tempting for us to go, oh, the grid, the grid, the grid, and think that it is the grid. It's not the grid, it is us. And yes, the grid does get energized, and a portal does get created. And when you go to some place like Mesa Verde or to Palenque, those are places that I had a lot of experience with, Aztec New Mexico, the energies that were created there still exist. You can feel them. This grid, if we continue to work with it, now that's generations upon generations of shamans working that know how to work energy, working in particular places. But they're connecting with the earth just like we're connecting with the earth, and they're creating a vortex, because in their vision they understand that that is the creative mechanism. It's the vessel. So if you want the vision to come in, you've got to create the vessel. And the vessel is created by looking within. Seek neither here nor there, for the kingdom of God is within you. And the word spiritual comes out of spiral.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. And spiral comes out of aspire, the Latin and the Greek for breath, aspiris or whatever that is. It's because the breath, when you breathe, creates a spiral. As you breathe up through your, it creates a spiral. So when we attune to the breath, we're attuning to a spiral. When we work out here in the grid, we're creating a spiral. And the crystals hold the resonance of that spiral. But we must keep in mind that we are the creators. We are its creators. And it's very, very tempting to move into adoration of the temple. Sai Baba has people build temples, takes them years to do it, and 6 months after the thing is built, he has them tear it down again. And the reason that he does that is because of that illusion and the way we want to empower the... How do we do this, honey? Okay. Okay, so where were we?
Denial.
Denial.
Tearing the temple down.
Yeah. Sai Baba, they have
tearing the temple down. And the reason that he does that is because it is so easy for us to empower our creation and that which we desire. When I first started trying, I have spent years writing, and I noticed when I was writing, I would become so attached to what I was writing. It was the investment of energy in that. And I'm looking at this and I'm observing, I'm going, God, this isn't right, you know, this isn't good. This is not good for the creative process. Because I'm so attached to what I did, I'm not looking at it objectively. Right? And I find that I have to take and put it down for 6 months and then come back to it and go, wow, what a bunch of crap that is. You know, God, how did I ever do that? But at the time that I was doing it, it was so perfect. So it was like, you know, that inspiration came in so perfectly. And then I realized, oh, it's my own process. And I also realized that if we're going to create in this world and not get hung up in the creation, we really need to create within and invest our energy within, because it's where we invest our energy that our heart flows. So the creation in the world really needs to come out of the inner reality. Otherwise, we get caught up in it. And we've all had that experience. You know, I mean, I've seen people get a little ding in their car and just go ballistic. Right? And it's because they worked for that car and they wanted that car and they got that car. And Spirit said, I think you're too attached to that car. And they went nuts.
Or the hard drive will crash.
Yeah, the hard drive. One, you know, all these things can happen with computers that are wonderful. And you're writing. I've spent a whole day writing, and somebody comes to check something, and they flip the switch. It's like, hello. All day, the whole day is gone, right? And so you get an exercise there. And we get that exercise. And it has to do with how we affirm and how we negate. And the big lesson here is seek first the kingdom within. Within. Whenever we get hung up on anything, whether it be a person, a condition, a situation, or anything, we can just know that we haven't been giving enough time to our inner experience. And there was a lot of years when we were working with Oracle of the Heart, and I was trying to help people resolve issues. And at one point, I just realized, wait a minute, this isn't my responsibility. And I started asking people, and they come all out of balance, and instead of jumping in there with them, I'd go, have you been meditating? No. Well, meditate. You'll feel better. Right? And it was at that point where I started creating meditations to assist in that process, because I'd been doing it for myself for years, but somehow or other in what I was doing with the Oracle, and it had a lot to do with the way I had dumped so much energy into Oracle of the Heart. And I wanted to resolve it out here. I wanted to be part of that resolution process. But we're not. We're lucky if we can resolve our own. And when it comes down to it, it's a process of giving it up. Letting it go, saying, you know, I got a problem here. Help. And letting it go. the aspect here is that grounds us is seeking, and it also can be seeing. And in a way they're very similar, and in a way they're very different, and this is the only center, the only aspect where there are two words for that grounding part. And seeking is more of a aggressive, active aspect of this visual process, and seeing is more of a passive, more of a receptive. But we have a tendency to see what we seek. So sometimes it's the seeing, what we're seeing, that actually shows us how we've programmed ourselves. And the ascendant on this level is peace. And the way peace resolves this whole area is this. Here we're negating, okay, I don't want to see that. Here we're affirming, I want to see this, I want to create this. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm seeking. Can you feel all the pressure in that? And it's got a lot to do with why we get headaches. Because we really can project a lot of energy out of this area. And the third eye is connected to these two eyes. Okay. And the third eye is where this really is resolved. The attunement here is peace. And the reason it is peace is because we come into peace as we realize that what we seek is present. Right now. And that what we seek is actually our own self. And what we see is actually our own self. And once we see that, once we come to that place of going, oh, I don't have to look. I don't have to be separated from this moment. What I want to affirm, what I want to see, is here. And therein is the teaching, that which we seek, we are that which we seek. What each of us is looking for in this life is our own self. And at the point where the seeking as a separate experience stops, there's peace. There's no more ripples in the water. And the reason there's no more ripples in the water is because we're not flailing around. We're just floating there. And when we do that, when we come into that experience of ourself as the goal of our life, that's when we become the eye of the hurricane, and that energy field starts to generate around us in a really dynamic way. And that's when we start to have this experience, which is seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the center of the kingdom, who art in heaven. And quite literally, simply by focusing into the center of the third eye, which, by the way, is very directly connected to the seat of the soul, which is just behind the eyes. You can, if you focus into that third eye, you can actually feel yourself just being drawn right back into the center of the head. When we do it here, we actually move through the top of the head and we come back into the heart and back up. But you can move from here right into here. They're very connected. Do we have a candle?
Mm-hmm.
Let's. Sweetheart. June. Yeah.
Isn't there a strip?
What?
Attached, isn't there a membrane attached from here to the center?
Mm-hmm.
And then from the then the center it wires out like a chicken wishbone to the obligato on both sides.
Yeah, it goes. There's the thalamus and the hypothalamus.
He's talking about the membranes that connect them. There's a membrane that's central, and there's a membrane that everything lays on.
Yeah. I'm not.
There's the membrane that connects the two sides.
Hmm.
Kruskal.
I wasn't. I don't think it's shown in anatomy.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Douglas Baker is the one. Father of Master Browning. I think he alludes to that. I don't think it's really there in the anatomy. I never found it in Gray's Anatomy or anything like that.
There's all kinds of membranes that, that connect all of the parts that they lay on. And
what's this vibration? Is the attunement? Is the sensing?
Well, I know that in the pineal gland there is a crystalline, there's crystals in the pineal, and I see that as being a resonant conductor, if you will, of the essence, and it's kind of physically. We go into that place where the essence is resonating, and then we can ride on that energy from that place. If we can experience, a very large part of what we're working with here is based on the premise that whatever we can experience, we can travel on. If we can experience desire, then we can travel on it. We can travel on it out there into a separative experience, but we can also travel on it back into the source of it. And when we get up into these upper centers, this is really the throat. In the throat, we still have real obvious duality. Here, the actual experience of the center is the first unified experience of consciousness. And that's why we have peace there. In joy, you can kind of feel a relationship of the duality. There's like a dance that goes on in there, right? Same thing with gratitude. There's an appreciation. You can feel the duality there. But when you come into peace, you come into experience of unity. But the ego works very, very powerfully projecting on these upper centers, because in unity the ego ceases to exist, so it's fighting for its life in these centers, the top two centers. And forget the spiritual heart, it doesn't even acknowledge that. But you can see how it's worked with the Christ. Has created something entirely different than what it is. It separated it into a deity that can be controlled and moved and put in a book, put into a dogma, and jammed down people's throats or wherever else it might fit. They make those little tiny Bibles. That's what they're for. We call them suppository Bibles. And interestingly enough, they usually contain only the New Testament. Ooh. All right, enough of that. That's sorry.
Barbara will be all week editing.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure
to be able to sell this tape to the Baptist.
We're just leaving it the way it is. This is fine.
It's so amazing to me that some people, I'm not going to digress, but people say they read exactly what's written, but if they do so, your phrase they find many times. To worship me, worship you sent me, you know, don't follow me, I'm not the one.
Yeah.
And how can they, if they profess that, to me, you know, what you're a point for what you're just making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's
see what you want to see.
There's a desperate thing in the ego that wants to create the separation, wants to create the duality. And, you know, heaven forbid we should accept somebody like Jesus as just being a person like we're a person. Because, I mean, what does that do to us? That puts a level of possibility into our lives we don't even want to deal with. Yeah. And yet he says it. He says, you can do greater things. You will do greater things than these. Because he saw this alignment that we're coming into. And the way the Mayans explain this alignment is that the outer cosmos, our star system, is coming into an alignment. And the correlation between that alignment and the energy centers, there's also an alignment. And it's very easy to go, oh, well, everything's going to come into alignment. But what we're seeing is, as these things come into alignment, you get these energies coming in, and if you have a thought form in one of these centers that is not
in attunement
with your true unified purpose and reality, it gets energized. And if you don't understand how to ride that back in, you can end up with a very obsessive experience. And a very painful one. Barbara was talking about how when she focuses up, or used to, when she focused up into the center of the head or into the third eye, it could be painful. And did anybody experience that?
I used to do contemplation exercises.
Yeah.
Did they hurt?
Very much.
Yeah.
Was it like a headache pain, or was it a sharp pain? Or?
Well, it was like a constriction, like a spasm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spasm.
Yeah. Well, that definitely can happen, and part of it is it's just a form of exercise. And part of it is that we literally have had governors placed on our energy centers. And the nature of those...
We agreed to do that.
Of course. We agreed to do it because...
We would be wide open otherwise and wouldn't have been able to...
We needed to do what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we come up against one of those governors, we need to ask for help. If we want that help. And you can feel it. You can feel it in your heart. If your heart starts to open more than it's used to opening, it hurts.
See that, you know, you guys were talking about here. My heart, I mean, I thought I was having heart attacks all the time. Mm-hmm. And all it was is that had been so clutched so tightly that every time it opened, it was like a Charlie horse.
Yeah. Your fist clenched really hard.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we used to clench our fist really, really hard for a long time, as long as you could. And when you go to open, it's like, and it gets stuck like that. Well, the heart is the same way. The third eye is the same way. And these are good places to say, I need help. Help me. Because there's a lot of assistance here for us to call upon. And if you ask for help, and apparently no help comes, then maybe it's not time.
Help always shows up when it's time.
Yeah. And it helps to be aware of that.
Perhaps you haven't released it enough.
Well, and maybe you haven't exercised what's beneath it enough to be able to support the energies that are going to come in. We're very eager. We're very willing to ask for stuff, and that's why that we have that little caution: watch what you ask for. You might get it, right? When I agreed and asked to do this work, I had no idea what it was. I mean, I had this unbelievable illusion of what this would be like.
Now, wasn't it going to be fun?
Yeah.
Now it's getting fun.
Yeah. But it was going to be entirely different. It was like, you know, it was a very naive, immature vision of it. And at the same time, that seduced me so that I took the steps to kind of box myself in. But it's an entirely different experience. And on one hand, it is much more wonderful. And on another hand, if I was to look at it from that point now, I would say, my God, that is so restrictive. And when we come into this place of peace, it's a place of no movement. Mm-hmm. And if we're still in that immature space where we're looking for freedom in a space of this outer movement, it is going to feel very, very restrictive. There's a really sort of a undescribable letting go that has to take place, because it's the releasing of the outer movement that opens this door for the inner movement. For me, that happened in Temple of the Sun when we were in Palenque. I had been meditating for a very long time, but that was the first time when it was like coming into what they call on Star Trek a tractor beam. It's just like, boom, the beams got me, right? And it wasn't really an external thing. It had to do with my own an intention. I said, that's it. I'm 40 years old. I've been dancing around the edge of this thing all this time. I'm ready. I want to surf. Whatever that takes. And that intention locked on, and my eyes rolled straight up and looked right out through the top of my head. And in meditation, my eyes have rolled up automatically like that ever since. Now, I could try like crazy to do that previously, and I'd just get a headache. Oh, and it really hurt. Like, oh, really hurt. Yeah. So when it's ready, it's time, but from that point on, Spirit said, okay, you're sitting still. You're not going anywhere. And I had these very confining kinds of realities that came in to just teach me to be, to let go. That's okay.
What is it, Jim Chu?
I don't know.
Were you attracted by a bright light? Attention.
The light came after that.
It was almost, my experience was kind of like just being literally condensed into this ball of light, and then and I was gone. I was totally in a trance.
Is it like here or up here?
Well, for me, the energy went right up through the top of my head.
It seemed like it went.
And I viewed the experience from, there was an experience of literally three selves. One was a receptor, one was was a focus, one was a receptor that was absorbing everything, and I was kind of in the middle going, wow. But the initial experience was like being, was like I punched a, I don't know if you've ever been in one of these real, real fast high-rise elevators. You know, I mean, some real fast ones where you kind of go, oh, shit.
It takes your stomach.
Your stomach's going, oh, man, this is like, they should have this at the amusement park. You know? But it was like that. It was like I punched that button and go into the top floor. It was just kind of like, oh, my. And then it was just riding it, but as a part of that, the eyes churned up. The reason I bring this up is because it was that intent to be totally of service, wherein there is an illusion of activity that brought me to a total standstill, to where I could become caught in that vortex which had been created there. We're going to be working here with this grid, and our ability to work with the grid will be determined more than anything else by our ability to come into that place of peace where we're totally at rest. Just like the eye of the hurricane. We look at the flame here. We'll look first at negating here, okay? The flame negates the darkness. If there were no other light here and just the flame, we would be able to see how that flame literally negates the darkness. It literally displaces the darkness. And this is a very interesting part of our human experience. Being unique individuals, unique expressions of the light, on all but the highest levels, we negate all other forms. And that's not about me negating Barbara. But it can seem that way. All it is saying, I can't do it your way, and you can't do it my way, and then that negating gives me permission to follow my own channel to the light. And who I am negates every other person on the level of a personality. But as we come into that higher self, into that spiritual being, just the opposite happens. And we begin to affirm every other being who also is seeking the light. However, those who are not seeking the light, a very magnified negation experience is created there. And that's part of the human experience. It's one of the reasons why we avoid our spiritual path. Because the minute we begin to move into our spiritual path, we have to let go of all these sticky relationships, all these little contracts that say, I'll lie to you if you lie to me. I'll tell you what you want to hear if you tell me what I want to hear. You can't do that. We have to, because when we come into that place of peace and we begin to create that vortex, we form that grail and we get filled by spirit. And spirit starts doing the work that needs to be done. And we hear things coming out of our mouth that we didn't even want to say. And they definitely didn't want to hear.
You do things you
right. So, with regard to the negation aspect, it is important to affirm that we are negating, because we are. It is part of our experience. And at the same time, we are affirming. The light is a wonderful affirmation. You look at the candle, and I just can imagine in ages when there was no understanding at all. The flame, the fire, the campfire, the hearth gave generations upon generations something to believe in, something magical, something transcending their experience. Something sacred. Yeah. And it gave them warmth, and it gave them, it